Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are Aesop Science here to make things make sense.
Today we're talking about sleep and how it relates to school time, how that's intertwined with migraines, and how the teenage brain develops and why school times are literally at the wrong time and what we should do about that.
You've wanted to do this for a while. I'm like, you're passionate.
Well, there's so much I've learned from like a few sleep books and podcasts that I just want to share. Yeah, I'm passionate about this one because I think sleep is the most important thing for everyone.
But you don't have a teenager. You're just thinking back on your high school time and you're just pissed. That
yeah, and when I came across the research we'll talk about today, I was utterly shocked. So I feel like I'm excited to share that. There's so much I want to share, but... we'll talk about that later once we get to that section.
How's How you doing? Mitch is jazzed up because Survivor's coming back.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Who knows when this pod's coming out? Probably past
Wednesday. The day of Survivor.
Oh my god.
Just pretend Survivor's tonight.
Survivor's coming out tonight. Okay, yeah. It's in 2 days from the recording of this, but I'm so excited. It's been so long. I've been holding myself over with other country survivors. So, you know, South Africa, New Zealand, Australia. I'm currently watching the most recent Australian season.
You watch New Zealand?
Yes, obviously.
Oh my god, I didn't know. Like, I'm like, when? Oh my god.
Yeah, so I mean, American Survivor couldn't film for like the past 2 years because I think they had an agreement with Fiji, but Fiji was on lockdown, so they weren't allowed to go film somewhere else.
Agreement with the sponsorship of Fiji Water or the country?
No, the country, Fiji. Like, they have an agreement to film X amount of seasons there, so they couldn't just like up and go somewhere else. Whereas in Australia, they ended up just filming in Australia now back for their newest season.
If you go to Fiji, are there just like scaffolding of like weird like slides
probably.
And like games that have just been like abandoned everywhere?
No. Apparently, they're very sustainable. They reuse the same spots all the time so they never have to like clear cut forests or anything
like
that.
Oh, that's cool. I could love it that you know that.
Yeah, they have like that's why they now film all the time in Fiji because they have a really good relationship with the government there and they try their best to have as minimal of an impact on the ecosystem as they can. So I've heard. So they say.
Wow, Jeff Probst over here.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's really progressive, okay? He's actually at the forefront of the progressive movement. No, I'm joking. I have no idea. I doubt he's that progressive.
Yeah, it's like a Mark Burnett producer.
Literally, for the first time, they're casting, like, more diverse people, and they're like, oh, wow, it's making very interesting casting. So it's like it's taken this long. So... I mean, it's the same with all reality TV, really.
Yeah, no, I'm just excited for you to be back.
Do you not like reality TV? Why are you so high and mighty?
I'm not. Did I sound high and mighty?
Well, you seem uninterested.
No, I'm interested. I have nothing to say because I'm like, wow, you know so much. I'm like, what could I possibly add?
What is your favorite reality show?
Yeah,
see? Wow, that you don't know that shows that you're a snobberoonu.
Maybe Drag Race?
Oh, that's a good
answer. Or actually probably Survivor. I do really like Survivor.
You do not.
I just don't like it when it's bad.
And like, you think it's always bad. I
no, not always. Sometimes no. I really like it.
I tell Greg he's not allowed to watch with me because, you know, it's not like you don't like it, but you bring it down. You constantly criticize it while we're watching it. And I'm like, why are you, you're making it suck for me. Like, you talk about how it's like just pandering to middle America and like you hate all the contestants and everyone you like has to go home first.
No, I don't like reality shows and the people I like go home first. That's the issue. And so then I'll like tap out, like recent Drag Race season, tapped out early. Everyone I loved went home first. But when I like the people and they go far, then I like it.
But that's the point. You can't always get what you want, Greg. And when you try, sometimes you get what you need.
No, I know. I'm just bad at sticking in there when I don't get what I want on reality show.
That's what makes it so much better, when you finally get what you want.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, let's get into what we've learned this week.
What did we...
What did we learn
this week?
That's why we don't turn that down. This is why I should be controlling this little soundboard. It's like, Greg, can you do the soundboard today? No. Okay. Mine is about the famous topic of Bitcoin. Don't turn your audio player off right now. I'm not going to talk that much about it. I feel like I half understand Bitcoin, and then the other half I'm like, there's like some magical explanation that people give me sometimes and I'm like, I don't know what Bitcoin is.
Yeah, I literally tune out. Like, I go cross-eyed and I'm like, nope.
But this is related to the environment and waste, so we should care about it.
Okay.
Because a single Bitcoin transaction generates the same electronic waste, so physical waste, as throwing out two iPhones every single time a single transaction of Bitcoin happens. So obviously, there's lots of research that's been done on like the carbon emissions and that power usage, which is like so high as well. And certain companies are trying to figure out how can they create like a system for this cryptocurrency that isn't as intensive. But this is talking about physical waste and electronic waste. Basically, they use, I guess, these specialized computer chips that are called ASICs. And their only purpose is to run the algorithms that work on Bitcoin networks.
Okay.
And so, because I guess of like the, I don't know if it's based off of how these things are built or if it's how fast the industry's changing, like their devices or these devices only last like 1.29 years and then they just get thrown out.
Oh, so it's literally like
the really devices. Just creating so much physical waste.
Hell?
Every time someone does a transaction with Bitcoin, it's like they've thrown out two.
Does that even happen? There's always those like Bitcoin ATMs everywhere, and I'm like, I've never seen someone use it. You know what I mean?
Me either. I'm like, sure there are people. I don't understand. I also just wanted to look into the energy use. So a single Bitcoin transaction produces 1,728 kilowatt hours of energy, which I know has no reference point, but a traditional transaction is 0.0015.
What the hell?
So different.
Is a Bitcoin.
Even though the traditional industry transactions are, there's like 175,000 times more transactions, they're about the same in terms of like energy usage.
That is so dumb.
Isn't that nuts?
Because the Bitcoin thing I thought was like almost like, oh, it's gonna be better for some reason.
Definitely like, not right now. In terms of waste, it's certainly not better. Maybe in terms of like privacy and
when did this start? It was like 7 years ago or something, right? When everyone was just like Bitcoin and everyone like freaked out. But then I'm like, I feel like the Bitcoin people are relentless, but I'm like, it's not really working. Do you know what I mean?
I think it is. It's definitely I don't know enough, but definitely like I feel that there's a tipping point happening now.
Really?
Where lots of big banks and organizations are buying into the idea. It's not like,
oh my god,
Bitcoin, I don't think you really like spend like dollars, but there are other cryptocurrencies that you would spend like dollars. But it's more, someone described it to me more like it's like gold. It's something to be measured against, and so people can invest in it and use it as a type of
man currency. And like humans are so freaking weird. Even gold, I'm like,
yeah, because I'm like,
so
what?
Weird. It's just, yeah, it's like a little, like,
when people understand that, I'm like, what?
And it's so weird when we started to make an economy. Like, it was just like so freaking weird.
Anyway, that's the Bitcoin news for the week.
I will say my eyes kind of went cross-eyed and I'm like, I get the energy consumption thing. But when you're like a transaction, I'm like, I can't even picture it. Because I'm like, what even? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like it's
are they more buying energy. Coffee?
Yeah, and literally. I'm like, is that like for some flowers for your mom? Like, I don't get it. So what I learned was kind of similar. I think we're in the sense that it's about the environment. But essentially, a new study came out that said Nearly 90% of economically viable coal reserves must be left in the ground to have a 50% chance of hitting the internationally agreed climate change goals, according to an updated model of like fossil fuel extraction. So it's like essentially 89% of coal reserves, 58% of oil reserves, and 59% of gas reserves must be remained, like must remain
of
in the ground.
Of what is left.
Of what is left, economically viable, needs to be left in the ground in order to get to 1.5 degrees Celsius.
That's never going to happen.
It's really freaking scary. I know. Well, it's so interesting. And no, it's like so hypocritical and sad. I hate Canada. Like, you're the most hypocritical country. They were like, they're talking about economically viable oil. Mm-hmm. And the tar sands doesn't even count because it's not economically viable.
Why?
Like, all the tar sands oil must stay in the ground according to this calculation. Because in their opinion, they're like the tar sands, like they're an uncompetitive resource. It's so expensive to extract it that it needs to stay in the ground. They're talking like we only can be extracting now the like oil that is economically viable, that's cheap to get in order to like stay below the 1.5 degrees Celsius.
Oh, God.
I know.
But I mean, aren't there other, like, I don't know. I'm not to be the person who's, like, depending on new technologies. I'm just like, hopefully there are other ways in which, because not that I don't think we should be keeping that stuff in the ground. I'm just like, I can't count on companies and governments to regulate fast enough to do that.
It literally,
like, 89% is like almost I know. All of it.
And it literally said they're taking into account technological advances in carbon dioxide removal technology. That's under the assumption that, like, you know what I mean? Like, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And it says that calculations state oil and gas production must decline by 3% each year from now until 2050, which means fossil fuel production must peak within the next decade. So it's like, it's honestly just like a really important study to remember, like, this stuff needs to stay in the ground for us all to have an economy that works in the future, because there's like not going to be devastating climate change. It's just another reason to just like keep it in. And I think we can regulate it. We have an election today, hopefully on Wednesday. There's not a conservative government in Canada, but oh my God, if there is, oh my God, if there is. But it's like, you know, in the tar sands, like Canada, we got to figure it out. I know I bring it up on this podcast all the time, but that is our plight.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's literally
okay,
awful.
Hopefully these things weren't too, like, depressing. Sometimes when I think about it, there is definitely a big movement of conversations around eco-anxiety. And like a lot of young people, myself included, feel like so overwhelmed and depressed because it really feels like it's not going to work. Like, we're not going
to
fix it
like
in time.
90% of oil needs to stay in the
ground. There's no point. Like, even just the idea that, like, of course capitalism is, it pushes and incentivizes people to do these things, and the systems are so in place that it's just so hard to stop. Or even if we try to stop it, it's just going to take too long. Hopefully, maybe we should actually do an episode on that. Eco-anxiety.
Yeah.
Environmental.
Because do you think that counts as eco-anxiety, bringing up those studies? Like, that's interesting. Because it's like, you don't want to ignore it.
Exactly. But no, I think eco-anxiety, it's all tied in, obviously. Like, hearing more and more studies that at least yours had the positive spin, like, we need to do this, versus like, we'll never be able to do it. But it just, those numbers made me feel anxious because I was like, that doesn't sound like that's going to happen.
I mean, fossil fuels staying in the ground, we have 10 years, 3% decrease. Yeah, no, you're
and I'm
right.
Just
it doesn't
like,
feel
with,
like it's going to happen.
With even like the pandemic as an example, causing basically economic collapse in some aspects of the world, and what's going to happen going in the future. Of course, countries are going to go, yeah, we're going to sacrifice the planet so we can get back on our feet.
Yeah.
Like countries, even Canada is probably going to be like, well, we have oil. We need to sell it. Otherwise, our country is going to suffer.
Canada needs some Green New Deal. I'm like, do I run for politics? No, I would hate that, but we need to elect an NDP person. But yeah, no, you're right. Eco-anxiety is real.
Let's definitely do an episode on it.
Yeah, and I think we need to figure out how we balance that type of study I just said with also positive things that are happening, because things are changing. The Green New Deal is amazing, and green technology is amazing, and it actually will save the economy. Like, there are solutions. Mm-hmm. We have them. We know them.
Yes.
It's about leaving fossil fuels in the ground, but I know that is scary. Even like traveling, I'm just like, as soon as people can, I just think everyone's going to, and then boom, airlines. You know what I mean? Like, fossil fuel consumption is going to increase. If we snap our fingers,
once we can go back to normal life.
Yeah, and you can't expect people to not. Like, that's going to be a hard thing to be like, oh yeah, by the way, like, don't travel if all of a sudden the pandemic went away.
Yeah.
But that's also still such a small aspect of, like,
the overall
issue.
Like, the airline industry.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it is one of the things that puts a lot of ownership on people's lives when really, you know, there's a lot of other things and companies doing a lot worse things right. that you can mitigate. But, oh my God, yeah.
Okay, let's pause on this. We'll take a break. I feel like we'll have a little more lighthearted fun talking about school and sleep.
Yeah, and like, sleep in, kids.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Feeling imperfect, insecure, or inadequate? I certainly do from time to time. How do you show kindness, self-acceptance, gratitude, and compassion to yourself every day? This is such a cool thing. I need to tell you about it because I'm also just really excited because I've been using it for about 30 days now. Anyways, mental health is a journey, and Switch Research delivers expert guidance along the way. Their mission is to provide you with effective, easily accessible mental health resources to help you become a happier, more resilient you. So I've been using this journal that they sent us. It makes me do gratitude lists. I do it in the morning. It's just so easy to do when you just have this thing in front of you. It's kind of like a little workbook. I'm obsessed. But Switch Research has helped tens of thousands gain more confidence with their 91-day evidence-based self-love journal. They partner with psychologists, clinical therapists, researchers, psychiatrists, and other specialists who have years of experience under their belt to guide you through their self-love journey. Transform your negative thoughts into self-love by using our code ASAP20 today at switchresearch.org to get 20% off your purchase. So again, that's ASAP20 at switchresearch.org to get one of these journals or get 20% off your first purchase.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Study time.
My favorite thing, sleep.
It really is.
It is, and for a good reason. Sleep's important. And no, I actually think most of my problems in life can link to poor sleep quality.
Wow.
Maybe not most, but a lot of like just feeling crappy, I realize it is always linked to sleep when I'm feeling like overly anxious, sad, depressed, angry, all the negative emotions, I am able to often go like, yeah, you just haven't been getting the good sleep that you
so
need.
For you, what is a good night's sleep as an adult, a 33-year-old man? It's gonna be different for teenagers.
That's true, but to me it is not just about the amount of hours. I always try to aim for around 8 hours, sometimes push it even more if I've got the time. But I just getting that isn't enough for me because sometimes I just have a worse sleep.
So I wake how do you up, tell? Is it like you know you woke up a bunch the night before?
Yeah, it might be a mix of me actually consciously remembering not sleeping well. Or just sometimes I just wake up and I'm like, maybe I was having sleep apnea last night. Maybe I was like grinding my teeth. Like I don't always know, but sometimes I'm just like, I don't feel as alert or good today. And I just kind of tag it to that, but I don't always know. I didn't know I had sleep apnea until I went and got tested. And then they were like, sleep on your side.
Because you love sleep science, sleep like research. You made that viral video, how to fall asleep in 2 minutes, but you don't seem like someone who has trouble falling asleep, which is really good.
I know, but that's also concerning because they say if someone who can fall asleep in 10 or 15 minutes is usually sleep deprived.
Wait, what?
Yeah, if you can fall asleep every day. That I can fall asleep literally in minutes. No, you can't. Bad at falling asleep.
I thought that was... Wow,
me. You are, aren't you?
No, no, I think I'm like...
You barely... You're always like, oh, you're like tossing and turning. And like, I feel like if you... Do you not think you're bad at sleeping?
No, I don't. Like, I'm like, you can say that I am, but like, I don't think I am. And I feel like 10 to 15 minutes is like... I definitely feel, for the most part, I fall asleep within 10 to 15 minutes. And I kind of thought that was like an amazing thing, but it actually means that maybe I'm not, that I'm too tired.
I mean, if you have a really good sleep schedule, that could maybe change that. I just have heard that like, usually it does take some time, and also like getting into dreaming sleep really fast, I think is also a sign that maybe your body's like, oh my God, I need to sleep. But lots of people can take them like 20, half an hour just to fall asleep. Some people it's like an hour or more. They just lay in bed till they fall asleep. But wow. I do think having a consistent schedule is the most important thing, where your body just knows this. Everything starts. Like, your body goes through so many internal processes to start sleeping that if it's the same every day, it just like starts before you even get in bed.
It is so freaking weird that we even sleep in general. Like, it's just so weird. I know that every animal does. And it's just like a weird biological process of life on Earth that just sort of like exists. You know what I mean? Like, there's a world in the universe that like sleep isn't necessarily an aspect of life, but it really is. Like, birds are even sleeping. Like, you know, animals are sleeping. Like, even like they, like a lot of, become obsessed with birding, and you're talking about this all the time. A lot of birds that are resting like on a branch, they now think are like doing their versions of sleeping, even though you might just be like, oh, that's just a robin kind of like, you know, chilling. But right, it's like, but no, it's actually like in sleeping. Some form of sleep. Yeah, and like almost all like mammals, I think it's more of a mammalian thing, like they kind of are like, they have their own versions of sleep. Like, it's so interesting. Like, we are just pushing ourselves.
However, something I've learned, fun fact about sleep, is that mammals in the ocean don't sleep the same way.
Yeah,
because they they don't dream. And it's like amphibians like do or animals that can do both water and land have dreams on land. Isn't that interesting? Because when you're in REM sleep, your body paralyzes itself, so you don't act out dreams or you don't like move. And obviously that can be broken in some people sleepwalk and things like that. But for the most part, only your eyes can move. And so it's not viable for an animal in the ocean to stop moving.
And that's why like you hear about like sharks to be like static sleep while they like
there's a different form of sleep. Like, they're not going into REM sleep. They probably can still sleep, it's just not REM sleep. Anyway, like, so this is all going to relate to school, because obviously, and many of you watching or listening have either experienced this or are currently experiencing it, where you're like, waking up early is so hard, especially when you're young, both for grade school, especially in like the high school era, but also leading into, I would say, even university as well.
So my study is about migraines, because I get migraines and I was obsessed with it. And it was saying that only this issue of early start time was for middle school to high school. They did not think that this, at least in their opinion, from past research and their own research, that it affected people grade 6 and earlier. They think that they should be going to school early. So like that also, I don't know about your studies, but my golden times of the study were that.
What does it mean, golden times?
Like, they were like, everything was about 8:30 a.m. They were saying school should not start before 8:30 a.m., which I even was like, that still seems early.
I'm
like,
that's early.
But everything I found, all the research I found, was about 8:30 a.m. As they said, a majority of schools in America start before 8:30 a.m. And all they're pushing for is to have school for middle schoolers and high school start at 8:30. And I was like, that doesn't even seem that much later. Like, it's like, let's just do that.
Well, we will talk more about that in my study. Like, I think you should talk about yours first, because I'm curious to see and hear your thoughts on what I will say about what the start time should be.
Yes. Okay. So teens who are defined as sleep deficient, according to my study, was 8 hours or less, because they need more sleep than any other human being at the time, because they're growing insanely. Their face is cracking. Right. They're popping out pubes. Their hormones. They're like absolutely eating like dummying bags of cookies and chips and growing like 6 feet tall. And like, it's just like a crazy time. And so because of early starting time, the study says like there's a lot of issues, because they're overly tired, and then they can link it to risky behavior, cigarette use, alcohol use. I think a large reason why there's car crashes in teenagers, which is like a huge killer of teenagers, is because they're overly tired. So that's their justifications for doing these studies, and their justifications for being like, seriously, should we regulate school starting later? But this was just about migraines in high schoolers. So this was grade 9 to 12. It was just surveys where they got people to say what time they started school and then talk about their lifestyle. So it wasn't like they made a school start late and a school start early and measure. They just found out people's start time. And everyone who was in the late group or who started 8:30 a.m. or later had lower headache frequency, lower amounts of migraines, like very significantly. And that was even adjusting for the total hours of sleep, the amount of sex, any migraine prevention they were doing, medication use, hours of homework, grade level, whether or not they ate. It was like the time of day was the main reason why these kids had way less headaches. And on top of that, migraines. And migraines, like going through them, are very physiological. Like, you know when you have one. Mm. And I was just like, that's interesting. Like, above all else, I'm like, you don't want teenagers to have headaches or migraines.
Yeah.
Starting at 8:30 a.m. I was like, that's not even better. So that was correlated
with start time of school being 8:30.
It was 8:30 and later. So that'd be the late group. And then 8:30 and earlier. So say it was 8:15, you'd be in the early group.
Okay.
So they defined 8:30 as even just that being the time that they should push for.
That's so fascinating, because you get migraines. Do you think they're linked to sleep at all?
So,
and does that make you think that maybe they might be in a way that you may not know?
Yeah, like, I find that migraines are so freaking weird, and I read science articles about them all the time, and it's really exhausting because they don't know, like, why. Like, they know what happens in your brain, and it's absolutely disgusting. Like, it is so intense. They explain how, like, the neurons and, like, the pressure actually builds from the front, moves to the back. So they can really study migraines now. From a neurological reason, the big thing they don't understand is, like, why people are getting them. So, and how to prevent them. One reason why is that it's way more prominent in women. So there's a lot of misogyny there, like, in the history of medicine.
To, like, not even spend time looking at it, basically. Yeah,
they literally, like, sociologists have studied this. Men just ignored it. And, like, a lot of, like, oh, women are hysterical. Women are complaining. Like, it's just a headache. No, it's, like, a very serious thing. So we're really behind on migraine research due to misogyny in science, which is just, like, an interesting thing to understand. But where we're at now, we can know what's happening, but why is something that you kind of have to figure out for yourself. So for my migraine journals, things I notice are lack of food. Like, Mitch knows I'm crazy. Like, first thing in the morning, I have to get, like, oatmeal in my quip. Hydration is another thing I've noticed sometimes. If I'm dehydrated, I'm like, fuck. And then it happens. Change in pressure in the day. And then sometimes I'll, like, link it to sleep. But usually I've, like, if I've ever stayed up late, I've usually had alcohol or marijuana. Like, it's like, I never just, like, stay up. I'm not a person who stays up late for fun without anything. So then it's hard for me to adjust the lack of sleep, because it usually just comes with, like, partying. So I've noticed it from a lack of sleep, but I usually am thinking I'm, like, dehydrated, had alcohol.
There's, like, multiple factors that that play into that sleep in the first place.
But some people, it's chocolate. And then sometimes I'm like, I guess I had, like, a better chocolate cut. Like, it's just like, it's so hard, because there's, like, there's so many things that you could be your thing. And I think people who get migraines get better and better at figuring out what it is for them. But for me, sleep has not really been one I've been, you know, like, oh, it was the sleep.
You don't tag it directly to that.
Yeah.
Well, sleep is so interesting, because it's one of those things that people, even when they're sleep deprived, don't believe they're cognitively impaired and don't feel it. Like, I'm not saying this is why we get migraines at all, but I'm just saying sleep is sometimes that thing that there are lots of people that get 5 or 6 hours of sleep a night and go, it's fine. I'm totally fine with 5 or 6 hours.
I can't believe that.
Oh, I could never. And even for one night, I'm like, I want to die. But some people function on that and think that they're normal.
Like, think they're normal. They're
at their baseline normal of functioning. But, like, countless, basically every study shows that if you're getting less, like, 6 to 5 hours of sleep, you're cognitively impaired compared to what you would be if you were getting 8 hours of sleep.
There's those people who are just so smart, because, like, they talk about getting 6 to 5 hours of sleep and they're, like, so productive and they're so smart and they do so much. I'm like, imagine you got full sleep.
They say there are some, like, a very small percentage, and I can't remember exactly how small.
Einstein vibes.
Of people who don't need sleep. Yeah, there's, like, a genetic predisposition, and of course it's a bell curve. So there's, like, some people who probably need, like, the 10 hours of sleep to function at their best. And then there are these, like, very extreme versions of people that can survive on 4 hours and seem to be unaffected. But that is almost definitely not you. You know,
It's not you, honey.
Anyone listening or watching, it's, like, really probably not.
And it's certainly not teenagers.
It's not teenagers. Teenagers need so much sleep. Before I talk about my stuff, I'm curious. Do you remember when your school started?
Yeah, it started. Like, this is why I kind of felt like 8:30 wasn't that late, because I kind of feel like we started at 8:45 and went until 3:45 in high school.
Wow.
Which also the 3:45 thing, I'm like, girl, that is early. Like, I
3:45
like,
to end school.
School ends early.
I think my school ended at 2:30.
What?
Maybe it was 3:30. I feel like at some point it was 2:30, but I think maybe it was 3:30.
Oh my God, the Catholic school board. Really?
No, but I think we started at 7:45. I don't remember for sure.
Yeah, no.
I honestly, you know me, I have no memory of anything in my life ever happening. So I might be
2:30. That's wild. You must have had fifth period off.
Maybe I did. No, I think my guess is that we started around 8, and that 7:45 was when you had to like get to class, and 8 was when class started.
Early.
But maybe I'm wrong about that. And then I have also memories of school also ending at 3:20. So I don't know if that was grade school versus high school. Like, I'm not totally sure which one I'm thinking of.
When I was a teacher, it started at 8. And at 8. It was early. And I was
even now, I find alarm. Like to get somewhere at 8. It's early. Oh. So you have to wake up, get ready, travel, get there. I'm like,
we've like not done that in years.
Don't I know. Like, I wake up at 8. Yeah. I'm like, then I give myself time to get ready.
Yeah. Kids we're are very at lucky. School.
Some of them are like working at 7:30.
No, that is wrong. It's illegal.
That's illegal.
We're here, kids, to tell you that that is should be illegal.
Okay, I wanted to share some interesting information. Like, there's so much out there. Obviously, I'm fascinated by sleep. But first, I wanted to talk about like babies versus teenagers versus adults and what they need. Hmm. So what they have found that babies, even in the womb, spend so much time in REM sleep.
Hmm.
And over time, they realize like as we get older, we get more NREM sleep, which is like non-REM sleep. I don't know why I had to short form that. but just before puberty, non-REM sleep peaks. So right when we're going into puberty, it's like at its highest. And the belief is that this REM sleep helps to literally create neurons. It's like building the scaffolding of your brain. Like basically what a baby needs is like, here, get all this stuff. And then that REM sleep is actually pruning and starting to go like, okay, how do we actually make this more efficient? Make these connections faster. And so non-REM sleep is like, now you've got your brain, let's make it the best version. And that's where like the individual you starts to like populate even more. And
but
so
when's that happening? Like
that's like into puberty, and during puberty, your non-REM sleep is becoming more and more part of like what
like,
you're doing.
Like,
and then as you phase out of teenage years, it actually comes down and you balance out between the extremes of like a baby and a teenager. So
like a baby is way more REM.
Way more REM. Yeah, it's like almost all REM.
Pre-puberty, puberty does more NREM.
Yeah, and so what they've realized is that the non-REM sleep is directly correlated to kids having increased cognitive development, reasoning, and critical skills. Even brain scans have shown, and I know we've talked about this before, how like the front regions of the brain are like associated with rational thinking and stuff.
Prefrontal cortex.
Yeah, teens don't develop, and you're
and
like, why?
You can tell.
Yeah, why are they like crazy taking risks? All these things.
Oh my God, when I was teaching kids, the amount of times as a science teacher, I'd just be like, girl, I would like tell them to their face, like, your prefrontal cortex isn't developed. Don't do that. Like, I would just be like, your brain
is
literally
working.
Underdeveloped. And they would give me these like weird looks, and they're like, almost like, that was really harsh. But they'd kind of also be like wait,
you're probably
like,
right.
Kind of like, that's like, you're a science teacher, and that kind of makes me feel a bit better.
Yeah, it's funny to think back to that time and try and remember what it felt like to. So I don't really remember.
You don't really like cognitively like, no, I'm just like, I would take so many risks.
Yeah.
Like but you don't realize you're even taking a risk because your prefrontal cortex isn't developed. Like, you know what I mean? Like even socializing, like I would go to like, obviously it's very scary to go to a party, but I would like go to a park party.
Yeah. You just be like, yeah, I'm going to just go.
Just
and
go and
even
like,
though you're scared, but you do it. Yeah.
Like if someone was like, go to a park party now, I'd be like, hell no.
Yeah.
I'm not
like, do I know
this dark
90% of the people there? Then
with
I'm not
bullies.
Going.
Like, I'm not going there. Like,
ew, I have so many gross memories of like going to a party and being like, literally my bullies are here.
Yeah. Whereas now as an adult, imagine someone's like, you have to go to a party where there's bullies of you. You'd be like, no, I'm not going there. That's so scary.
Isn't it so messed? Like, I still think about my like grade school and high school bullies. Like,
where are they now, Mitch?
I don't know. Hopefully dead.
Wow, that's a harsh bully.
No, hopefully not bullies. And then there's that trope in movies where like the bully comes up and it's like, oh, yo, man, like we used to be such good friends. Like the bully never realizes that they bullied you.
Has anyone ever done that because of ASAP Science?
Not like an extreme version of my bully, but definitely people that I'm like, we weren't friends and you were kind of mean to me. Because I also like feel that probably also as a kid that was like kind of queer and got called gay and stuff. Like there were probably people who wouldn't have otherwise been mean, but were like socially defending themselves by like calling
and probably gay. Don't remember being like, you're gay. Cause yeah, like everyone was saying it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like probably just nothing to them.
Whereas honestly, I was, like
going home and crying.
I look at my bullies and I'm like, wow, they're pretty busted. Like I'm kind of like, really, they're like busted and they have like really messed up morals. Like I'm not even kidding. Like they're like all like weird. Like they're like on Facebook. Like they're like those Facebook dads, like it's so weird. And then they all have daughters now, and I'm like, but you're a misogynist, like you're an open misogynist. Like it's like there isn't, I don't really have a bully that I remember. Like I remember them who is now like this really nice changed person. Like,
you don't have that experience?
Yeah, like I have looked at specific people who are so mean to me, and I'm like, they're actually like so weird still. And I'm like, whoa. like you know what I mean? Like bullying. Is we should do one on bullying. Yeah, like there must honestly. Be a correlation between some brain. I bet the bully.
Yeah,
no, who ain't
maybe
sleeping?
They never develop.
Bullies ain't sleeping. That's for sure.
They didn't sleep well. And not that I'll go into this, but a lot of disorders are linked to sleep problems. They've realized over time, even things like schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, ADHD, they think is somehow linked to childhood sleeping problems.
Childhood or teen or both.
Childhood, I think, is what was said in the book that I read, but that it's like. That's the time your brain is like developing so much. So anyway, I was going to say in terms of the development of the brain and the non-REM sleep, it's like they can literally see the brain develops from back to front. And that's why also like the rational part is the last part to like prune and like develop properly and just like make better connections.
That's kind of interesting.
Yes. So how does this also more facts about teenagers and their sleep? So basically, when you move into your teenage years during puberty, your circadian rhythm literally changes around 1 to 3 hours more. So you are like, instead of going to bed at 10 p.m., you're naturally getting tired at 1 a.m. If like as an example.
That's crazy.
Whereas parents don't understand this. Yeah. I mean, they have all gone through it, but they forget.
I don't remember
that. And
they
think it's a choice. Yeah. But it's like literally kids are just, when they're little babies or children, it's actually even earlier. So that's why like your nephew goes to bed at like 8 or 7 p.m. or whatever.
So their circadian rhythm is often the fact that they want to stay up later and also they want to sleep in, right?
Yeah, so they need more sleep and their circadian rhythm is different. But I mean, it's not even so much they need so much more sleep. It's just that if your body's naturally wanting to go to bed at like midnight or 1 to get your good 8 hours or 9 hours of sleep or whatever, you're going to be pushed way past when you would naturally be asked to wake up for school.
Also, my study said that the people would actually go to bed earlier when they had later start times, and their prediction was that teenagers get anxious because they can't fall asleep, and then they're like, I have to be up so early, and then that makes them not sleep.
So they're having like bad sleep.
That was them trying to justify, but I was like, that was interesting to me. Like, I find it a lot harder to fall asleep when I have to get up early.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because you're not falling asleep, and you're just... Yeah, I remember being a night hawk. That's why I think I've always thought I was a night owl or what even night hawk. I don't know. Obviously that's changed now. I feel like my natural predisposition alone would be to be a night owl, but because of our job.
So you mean like when you were a teenager, you remember what I don't remember staying up late at all.
Like, and maybe because you always laugh at how your parents would wake you up so early.
No, I would
like I would truly sleep till 1 or 2 p.m.
Oh, sorry. Weekends. They would wait. That is, my parents would murder me. But it's not even only that. It's also my parents were like, you're going to bed so early. Like, I remember in the summer in Canada, just like staring out my window like a sad little boy, like hearing kids like playing in the playground. And my parents are like, yeah, you have to go to bed. I'm like, it's broad daylight. And I was like old enough to like see my friends like bouncing on trampoline in their backyard and being like,
that's so sad.
Like, and they're like, no, it's bedtime. I'm like, are you sure? Because the sun ain't set.
So then this is for your parents. They should have let you stay up and go to bed later. But I understand that there's like, you're trying to regulate your kids. And it's like, your kids don't always know what's best for them. And so you assume it's better for them to get enough sleep. It's worse if you go to bed late and wake up early. So they probably were just being like, we'd rather you have a consistent schedule. I'm not trying to like drag your parents too hard.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Like, I don't think I had like too much missing out trauma, although I do have FOMO and it's probably staring out the
trampoline
window seeing
kids.
Trampling babies. But I do feel like I never in high school on a weeknight ever stayed up past 11. And I never
Oh my God.
And I
in
never
high school?
Never. Ever. At 10:45, I remember being like, anxiety. And I'd be like meditating, listening to Radiohead, being like, sleep. And then I would like sleep. I would always be asleep by 11. And I remember like MSN, like, you know, people will be like, what's up at like 10:30? And I'd be like, bedtime? Like, that's what's up. Like, and I knew that. And like, sometimes I would like, I don't know, maybe log into MSN. Like, maybe I once or twice, like getting up to go to the bathroom and like seeing that people are like on MSN at like logging in, and being like, what? So I definitely would. I never felt like I needed to sleep at 1. I always felt I needed to sleep at 11. But so maybe
you might have also, because this did say like there's a range of that circadian change.
So right? you felt it. Like when you were in high school, you're like,
oh, for sure. I would be told to go to bed, and then I would sneak up after my parents went to bed just to be up and like go play on the computer. Yeah, I mean, some of it might have been that I was like addicted to a computer game. I have like vivid memories of a specific game that I would stay up and play. But
like, how late?
I wasn't tired. Like sometimes till like 2 or 3 a.m. But that wouldn't be like the regular. But definitely, I was like going to bed. And same kind of thing. My parents were probably like, "Go to bed. When we go to bed, you can't stay up later than us because we can't then monitor if you're going to bed at all."
Yeah. So then, when your alarm would go off to start your school at 8, that must have been hell.
Yeah, I don't really. Yeah, I remember always being really tired at school, even in university. And I know sometimes that's a mix of like partying, but I didn't party so much in university. And I remember like consciously after first semester choosing all the later start times.
Oh my God. I had so many 8:30 classes. I don't even think I went to one. I would just go to the 2 p.m. one. And the 2 p.m. classes,
so full.
Everyone would be sitting in the aisles. There'd be like fire monitors coming, yeah, being like, this is illegal. And the poor professor would be like, I'm working way harder than whoever the 8:30 one is. Yeah. Like, cause like there's no kids in that. And then they'd always be like, who isn't supposed to be here? And I'd just like be on Perez Hilton, like, no, I'm not going to respond to that, but for sure.
It's me. Writing myself out.
Yeah. Like I'd never even been to, I don't even know who that my professor is.
Yeah. For reference, our like biology class in first year probably had like 2,400 kids, but the classes weren't that big. They could only hold maybe 600. And so they would have 3 times a day. And yes, as a result, the midday class. No one wanted the light one because everyone wanted to go party.
The midday class would have 2,400
people sitting
kids
on stairs.
like
filling the rows, every on the ground, everywhere.
And the energy was like an Ariana Grande concert. Like everyone was like lining up. It was like, fucking like, let's learn about duck legs. Like it was just like everyone was happy to be there. They'd slept in. Yeah, no, like they shouldn't even have morning classes in university. You're
so
still a teenager.
Is in the research, irrespective of culture or geography, it's during puberty. And puberty, as we know, like obviously it's very distinct around the age of say like 16 or 15 or whatever, but it runs its game until like 25, 26. Like a lot of things are still changing in your body. So it makes sense that I started university at 18. No, was 17. I 17 when
I was
started?
16 because my birthday was.
No.
Yeah.
You were 17. No.
No.
No, because yeah. I could drink in my first year of university.
Oh, yeah, no, I was
so
17.
You were 17? Yeah. No, you were 18.
No, I turned 17.
Oh, my God.
I turned 17 in September of my first year.
No.
Yes.
No, you turned 18 because then in March, I turned 19. Yes. So you started university 17.
I always do this. Like, to my parents, I'm like, my parents sent me to camp when I was 6. And they're like, no, we didn't.
They're like, you were
like,
12.
You're such a liar. And they're, yeah, well, I was 8. But then I would slowly be like, no, 7. I'm 8. Anyway.
So they measure kids' bodies, teenagers, and it's like there's a shift in their melatonin and their sleepiness time changes. Like it is biological. It's not just cultural. And they say that their peak wakefulness for a lot of teenagers is actually in the evening. So it's not only that they naturally would want to wake up later, it's that they're at their most alert in the evening. And the book that I was reading, my favorite book, Why We Sleep, said that asking a teen to wake up at 7 a.m. is like asking an adult to start at 4 a.m.
Whoa.
Isn't that crazy? The 3-hour difference. So you can understand why you can wake up at 4 a.m. It's just like extremely uncomfortable and requires like a lot of push through.
Okay. I honestly think we should do this. Should the two of us just like start like a ground, like a grassworks movement?
There are movements for this.
Because I'm like, I think this is smart. Like it's not that hard to just say 8:30 for high schools. Boom.
It is hard though. So what has happened, I think, is that people's jobs correlate to this 9 to 5, so they need to have their kids out of the house earlier than that, you know.
But they're teen, but we're only doing high school. Isn't that like a much less responsibility? Like your kids,
I guess there's still though that stress, like when you start high school, how old are you, like 14 or something, or I don't know, how old are you in high
like
school?
12, 13, like
no 12 is grade 6.
Wait, are you serious? So then 15, even more 15. Reason, I'm like, these teenagers they should have autonomy sure, to walk to school or get on the bus to school.
And there's like so much experimental evidence to show that schools, like you said with the migraines, schools that start later. And like there's a school in Minnesota that literally only changed from 745 to 835. SAT scores went up 212 points.
Yeah, this one like scholar argued that there'd be $9 billion surplus in the American economy because
that could fix the climate crisis.
Yeah, he said it's more than Major League Baseball makes in a year. They literally think because you would have higher graduation rates, you would have higher productivity, you would have like a more
probably quote happy, unquote
successful
satisfied.
Society because the kids are actually going to graduate and be better at school. And then also they think that the kids just aren't going to die. Because it's like car crashes.
Right.
Like, it's really, like, many studies just kept talking about car crashes. Yeah. Like,
I know, it's I weird like, that what? That's, like, one of the, I think, and maybe you're emphasizing this, like, one of the highest risks for kids is car crashes.
Yeah, and I forget that because I grew up in Toronto. So, people, like, dumb, like, rich kids at our school would have cars, and it was like, you're losers. But, like... Most people were taking the TTC, and I just think you forget that America is just like this highway country where kids get cars when they're 16, and I'm just like, yeah, no wonder they're all dying on that. Like, that's crazy. If they're and it does make sense if they're constantly tired.
Yeah.
And then that's leading to issues of depression, drug abuse, all these other things that then you're mixing that with like vehicles.
Yeah.
And like commuting. And I'm just like, yeah.
I'm just searching this right now. And it is like unintended injuries are the main cause of death for teenagers.
And they don't have a prefrontal cortex. Yeah. They don't understand risk. Honestly.
Because they're not going to, I guess, like have a heart attack or cancer. Like very likely.
No.
That it makes also sense that like injuries would be the biggest risk.
Gosh, we need to do this. Like, it just, I'm just like, if I was a principal,
I know. I like forever, I had this dream, and Greg will know that I wanted to like try and get the schools near us to do it and like actually do an experiment to make a video out of it.
No,
that's never
he's always like, what do you think that'd be like? I'm like, I've worked in a school, like, get ready for hell.
But think about how significant this is. Like,
it is really weird,
like,
and interesting.
To know that schools have higher IQs just by starting later, that the kids achieve more, that they're like, happier, their reading and comprehension's higher, they have a more extensive vocabulary just by starting later.
And it's, I think it's like, I know that the study I had was about middle school, but it's like, just do it for high school.
Yeah,
just,
at least
you don't have to worry
there,
about elementary
school. Sure, it's
just
the
leave
high
it.
School years that I remember having the hardest time.
And that seems also like the most challenging time with what you said, where parents want to get their kids who are young out the door on time to get to work. Fine. So we don't touch until grade 8. We only do grade 8 to grade 12 when the kids are getting themselves to school on their own.
Where did like, you go to school? Like grade 8 to grade 12?
Grade 9, sorry.
I'm just so curious because some people have schools like that where they're like grade 7 to grade 12.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I went.
I was like.
No, yeah. I went to the same school until grade 8 and then I did grade 9 to 12. But yeah, some people have middle school, which is grade 6 to 8, which I say leave. Leave that too.
Okay. At least
let's just do high school.
The kids who are like in it.
Yeah, and I was
on
a teacher
MSN at night.
And I was a teacher of high school, and it was exhausting. I wouldn't have minded starting at 9. You know what I mean? Like,
seriously. Or at least having that extra buffer to go in and prep your classes.
Also, like grade 7 and 8, I taught them. They're insane. It's when puberty's starting, and they're actually like, it's like big mouth, like they're going crazy. And there's like funny education scholars who think that those kids should be taken out of school and do manual labor and then go back to school in grade 9 because there's really no point.
Like they just can't learn properly at that stage.
Like it's such a ridiculous thing, but sometimes when I teach like grade 7s and 8s, I'm like, actually, like you would be better off. Like manual labor is like just playing games. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
It'd be
stimulating
better off
physical
like,
body movement.
Like, I don't need to teach you about atoms. Like, I'll teach you about atoms in grade 9. Yeah. Why don't you just, like, literally, like, go run around in circles. Maybe actually, like, put these pens together and we'll sell them. Like, I don't even know. Like, make
these pens
like, do child labor.
We'll
like,
sell them.
Like, literally just work on this conveyor belt. Like, it's just
Greg
like,
Brown's School of Pen Organization.
Yeah. You make the big pens that then the grade 9s use. Like, there's just, like, something so funny because it's true. Like, they're just. Their brains are crazy. Like, guys, girls, everything in between. Like, it's just a weird age that, like, I know this is a little off topic, but I'm like, we need to just like, let's just be radical with the education system and see what happens. Because it's not working right now to the best of its ability.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots to talk about the school systems in the first place, beyond sleep even, and like how they don't necessarily anymore or struggle to prepare kids for what is actually relevant in today's world. Like university as well. It's like so many people in hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt and can't get a job. But that's a different topic.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay. No, that just gave me so much anxiety.
One last thing I wanted to bring up about like why are teenagers like this? And I know we've talked about it, but the main theory is that by evolutionarily, like having teenagers readapt their circadian rhythm to be a different time, it's a chance for them to step away and be more independent from their parents. So it's literally supposed to have you offset from your parents. So by having a different sleep cycle with your peers, you get to like operate independently with your peers and start to like, not in like a full sense, figure like you're not going away fully, but it's like for those few hours that you're still awake and you're around your friends and you want to stay out late, like you are getting a sense of independence, which allows you to develop into like a human.
That's so funny. I love like evolutionary biology theories. I'm like, that's such
well, because it is like, why would that happen? Why would sleep cycles change so drastically to the point where parents like don't understand their kids and are like, why are you sleeping till 1
Okay, now this is mine. Like hunter-gatherer societies, like you want the fresh, healthiest little teenagers to be up late protecting.
Maybe while you too.
Sleep with the babies. I just made that one up. But you know what I mean? Like that's my theory. It's like a 16-year-old like hunter-gatherer Neanderthal type time, like that'd be the strongest like men and women, so they got to stay up late and protect.
Maybe. Yeah,
no, this is fully made up. I'm just like just, you know what I mean, like that's me as an evolutionary biologist just doing my theory.
Wow, that's a beautiful theory. Yeah, well, I mean, that is one of the prominent theories behind why we have like early birds and night owls, that the like the distinction or the crossover between different desires to be awake at different times actually helps fill the gap for when humans are at their most vulnerable, which is when they're sleeping.
I miss puberty. Like, what a, like, I know I don't, but like, I wish I could do it over with the perspective I have now, because it's so fascinating. It's obviously hell when you're in it, because you're like, it's all you know, and you don't ever think you're going to come out of it, and it's just like embarrassing, and like, everything about it is like weird, and you're like getting pubes, and you're like,
but now corny. It's nostalgic.
But now that I'm like an adult and I'm like, you're gonna get through it, I would love to go back and just like watch my body.
I just
change.
Wish I went to like an art school or something, because then I feel like I know there would still be, you know, hierarchies and drama and whatever, but I just feel like,
but then you might not be ASAP science.
No, that's fair. By art school, I don't necessarily... Yeah, no, that's fair, actually.
I think about that a lot, because I also...
It's just that, like, art school. The sort of, like, toxic masculinity that I had to face, not just in my peers, but in my teachers, I think, in the administration.
But that's also Catholic.
Yeah, it's a mix, but also we grew up in a time, like, I'm sure in public schools that was happening, maybe not to the same administrative level, but, like, probably...
Yeah, it definitely wasn't happening at held administrative beliefs. Level for me, but definitely, like... People were so homophobic because it was like a long time ago.
Yeah. And but I just feel like, you know, queerness has always been more accepted in the arts space, that I just think maybe I would have actually found myself a little better. Even though I love science, like maybe I would know myself better.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I was so mad when I became a teacher in Toronto and found out that I could have gone to an art school in Toronto. Like I would have just had to tell my parents, and like I could have just gone to a different jurisdiction. Like it's not that hard. Like when I started to learn about the Toronto District School Board, it's like, there's alternative schools and you just choose to go. It's not that hard. Right. And I was like, no one told me I could do this. So I am a little bit like, I missed out. But then I do think the reason I love science is my high school science teachers and my conventional high school was known for like a good science and math department. And here I am with it being my favorite thing in the world. That would have been robbed for me at an art school, I assume. Like, I feel like no.
You can probably still take science at an art school, can't you?
Yeah, that would be a really interesting story to have gone to an art school and then fall in love with science.
And what a beautiful thing to have, like, the crossover connecting those two things.
And honestly, I bet a science teacher at an art school would be so Miss Frizzle vibes and probably so good at it. There is an art school in Toronto, though, that, like, it was just, like, there's such drug issues. So like, I don't know if that's like, the one I wanted to go to was called Rosedale. And like, I know lots of people who went there and they're like, it was really bad for drugs. Like, just like, I'm not saying that all artists do drugs, but like, it was
oh
like,
oh my God.
And there was definitely a lot of
sometimes
drugs.
Sometimes those
school.
Rumors, though, I mean, I know they're probably somewhat based in truth, but like, my school was also considered in the town I lived, like, the more druggy school. And I'm like, was it? Like, I guess I was kind of sheltered, so I don't know. I wasn't included in any
it's
of the
like,
drug partaking. But
maybe it's all the druggy schools are the ones where the people are starting too early. You know, like maybe
starting
if they all
early?
Slept early.
Oh, like starting too early, yeah. And then they're more slippery sloping into drugs.
Well, that's what they keep saying in these studies.
Whenever someone says to me like high school was the best time of their life, I'm
that's
like,
so sad. Sorry.
You peaked way too yeah. early.
Like that's actually really sad.
But some people say that. I'm like, you loved high school.
Wait, that is like
but
so
you're lucky
sad.
Because you have still a lot of friends from high school. I have a few, but not that many.
No, I definitely had really great friends from high school, but like we were the freaks or whatever. But like it was like great. Like I'm so happy I didn't peak in high school.
That's yeah, the people who peaked are the ones that sometimes look good on their now. I'm like, yeah, you
yeah.
peaked.
No. Like, honestly, if you're having a good time in high school, like, look out. You know what I mean? Like, it's actually like you might want to like chill out a bit. You might want to figure out how to get bullied.
True.
Like,
oh, no.
I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
I'm going to be genuinely concerned if my kid's killing it in high school. I am. I'm just going to be like, I'm going to like put acne on. I'm going to like rub pizza grease on their face.
Oh, something. My God.
Like, you cannot thrive.
Brown.
I'm just saying.
Well, hopefully they'll start school later after this podcast
yeah.
comes out.
Every single person, if you're a teenager, fight for this with your administration. Mm-hmm. Do a debate at school. Look into all the scientific research. Say ASAP Science taught you. If you're a parent, go to the school and start talking about it. We will be there. We will defend you. And this is...
It's the best health. It's for your kids' health and
yeah.
well-being. Like, beyond even just being, like, smarter and getting a higher SAT score, which is, like, great in some capacity. It's also, like... to be a better functioning human who probably is more stable and has like better regulation over their emotions and those kind of things.
And too. Empathize with your kid if they're exhausted in the morning. It's like, yeah, yes. yeah, babe, this ain't right for you.
Yeah, we were all there one day.
Okay, so thanks for listening. Make
yeah.
sure you subscribe, leave a comment. And next week, what should we do a podcast about?
Don't we already know what we're doing it about?
Oh, yeah. What is it?
Midlife crisis.
Oh, yeah. We're doing it on midlife crisis. So interesting. And we're like, are we in one? Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.